I see dead people. Some of you may remember that as a famous line from an old movie. And I, in reality, I for one have had that experience of thinking that I saw a dead person. I understand it's common to know that someone's dead, have been to the funeral, seen the body, and yet catch a glimpse of someone on the street or boarding a bus and suddenly being sure that that's the dead person. I've had that experience. Maybe that kind of experience is why some people believe in ghosts. And so it's understandable that Jesus' friends would put that down as an explanation for their experience of seeing him after he was dead and buried. So his offers to touch him, and breathing on them and eating with them, and those post-resurrection appearances, they are to help those disciples understand that it's not a ghostly appearance, not a normal grief reaction that they're experiencing. But those appearances described in the Gospels also tell us something about life after death. The only time that Jesus talked about it on an individual basis was when he was talking, when he was asked about a woman who would be married, who the woman would be married to in heaven, who'd been married to various husbands consecutively after she was widowed each time. And his answer was that the question made no sense, that it was irrelevant and didn't fit into what life after death was like, because he says, told them that in heaven, there's no gender or marriage. It's just irrelevant because everyone is family and those things don't exist anymore. But in his post-resurrection appearances, he exhibits certain traits that posit assumptions about the resurrection of the body that we confess in our creeds. For one thing, he can appear in a room that has locked doors. He comes and goes at will without transitioning. He's in one place and then suddenly he's in another. So our time and space are not constraints. However, he eats and drinks and converses and enjoys his friends. So joy and fellowship on a personal level seem to be part of eternal life. On the other hand, he doesn't seem to be all that recognizable physically in appearance. It isn't till he speaks to Mary in the garden that she recognizes him. It isn't till he breaks bread with his Emmaus friends that they recognize him. It isn't until he speaks peace and teaching to the various disciple groups when he appears to them that they begin to believe that it's really him. Sometimes we use the analogy of a butterfly to give us a metaphor for our bodily resurrection. The butterfly is genetically the same animal that the caterpillar is, that the butterfly used to be before the metamorphosis. But the butterfly can fly. It eats different stuff. It looks totally different. And someone who were looking at the two side by side would never guess that they're the same animal. Maybe that's how it is with the resurrection of the body. So it's pretty much an exercise in futility to try and plan for what you're going to do and be after you die. You just have to trust that God is good and faithful and has it all worked out. I went to the doctor a couple weeks ago with a severe pain, and she diagnosed it and said that she could give me a shot. And I said, great, and she gave it to me. I never thought to ask what was in the shot or what kind it was or anything else about it. And I probably really wouldn't have understood what she was telling me if she had told me. I just trusted that she wanted the best for me and that she that I believe that she knew what she was doing. Now, I'm not really recommending that as good patient behavior. I should have inquired more responsibly. But it does illustrate the attitude that you can have towards God's plans and promises for you. As our Bible epistle lesson says, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. All those reassuring future tenses for us. But what about our present tense? What about until then? Well, Jesus gives us a template. He can be in lots of places at once. As his resurrected body, we, the church, the body of Christ, can also be in lots of places at once, doing his mission of feeding, healing, forgiving, welcoming, loving, in far more places than any one of us could do alone. And because we're different, our different experiences become the collective memories that shape the whole body of Christ. For instance, take that first Easter morning. The disciples have heard rumors by evening of that some women were saying that they'd seen Jesus walking around in that morning and that they'd heard angels. They'd heard rumors, okay? And then Jesus himself stands among them. Now, the gospel writer of John tells the story as Jesus forming the church to be sent out to bring peace and forgiveness to the world. And he uses that story about Thomas arriving late to show his acceptance of us when we have doubts and how belief and disbelief can fruitfully live in the same person. Uses this story as a prototype for a church that won't physically see Jesus and yet believe through the doubt. The gospel writer Luke, that we just heard, tells the same story as one of Jesus revealing himself in acts and deeds. His emphasis is on seeing Jesus in God's word and in God's promises, opening their minds to the true understanding of the scripture. He shows us a church whose response to this is joy, expressed even through its doubt. That infant church holds both disbelief and wonder together in themselves, just as the church, us, we do today. And that wonder, as those who joy in science know, wonder is the beginning of discovery. Jesus, using the context that the disciples know, their scriptures, opens their minds to see what they thought they already knew, see it through a different lens. Jesus opens their minds to a new understanding of what the Messiah, salvation, and God's purpose for the creation, and what it means to be blessed, to be a blessing, what all those things are intended to mean. With proper interpretation, Jesus tells them, you can grasp the good news in the concept of a God who dies, of a Messiah who doesn't fix your problems, of a resurrection that's not a resuscitation. And it's only through the work of the Holy Spirit that you are able to see these things, through the Holy Spirit that God gives, so what you do understand, what the Holy Spirit enables you to understand, is all you need to know for now, for today. Don't be afraid and anxious that things are falling apart, Jesus tells them. All is working out in the overall scheme of God's plan. You can trust God's promise to take care of things in the long run, in spite of all our human attempts to thwart God's work and God's plan, like crucifying God when he comes. And so the disciples go out and tell others, "We have seen the Lord." And that's your call too. And not as hard as you may think. So I'm going to invite you to try an experiment, speaking of science. Think of something that you're enthusiastic about, a TV show or a book or a trip that you were on, something that you're enthusiastic about and think about it. Or maybe it's a gadget that you recently got, maybe one of those Instant Pots or an air fryer, some such thing, a new gadget. And now, tell someone who's sitting near you just in a couple of words about that thing and why you like it. And now, see, wasn't that fun? Now think of a place that you saw God recently. Maybe the flowers outside, or maybe someone who did a kindness for you, or a place that you saw God recently. And share that too. See, now, was that threatening? What you didn't do, what you did not do, is turn people off with your witnessing. You didn't blame them for not knowing about your experience or call them names the way Peter did in the Acts story. You did this and you did that. You handed over. You rejected. You killed. And you didn't scold them the way the writer of the epistle lesson did. You followed the example of Jesus in sharing with people that you had first talked to and listened to as friends. Relationship first, sharing from love and joy, and not to control or manipulate anyone else. You are my witnesses, says Jesus, my witnesses, like me. Share your joy the way I do, by coming to others with fellowship and shared food, either for the body or the mind. Be a person they can trust before you ask them to trust what you say. And Jesus says to you, don't be afraid. I promise that the Holy Spirit will be in that kind of a conversation for you. And for that, we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.